Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel, Perek Yudalad, the 14th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And this is a rather exceedingly difficult Perek to learn. It's broken up into two major topics. The first section addresses people who have different agendas than what they say they have. So it relates a particular case that occurs. What happens is that there are people from Ziknei Yisrael who come in front of Yechezkel. This is one of the episodes where Yechezkel is obviously the address, he's obviously one of the leaders in the diaspora, and he is approached by particular leaders, as opposed to the leaders in Perek Ches, where they were the Ziknei Yehuda, which many in the Mephoreshim say were well-intended. The Ziknei Yisrael seem like they are not well-intended, as we'll see in just a moment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to Yechezkel before these people or as these people are arriving, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, understand, Yechezkel, that these people, he'elu giluleihem al libam. They are sort of raising their false avodah zarah, their paganism in front of their heart, u'michshal avonam nasu noichach pneihem, and they're focusing, they're meditating on their sins. And he asks Yechezkel, "Ha'edroish idareish lahem? Should I seek them out?" Then that seems to be a rhetorical question, because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumps straight in and saying, he says that anybody who comes to me, "Ya'aleh es gilulav eliboy," a person who brings their paganism in front of their heart, their false belief systems, and he comes to the Navi, "Na'anesi loy b'guro gilulav," I'm going to answer him in his mistakes. In order to capture, so to speak, one way of translating that, Israel, who have moved away from me. Then he turns outwards and says, tell all of Israel, tell B'nai Israel, that you need to do teshuvah. Leave all these gilulim, all these false images, this avodah zarah, this paganism, these belief systems. You understand that don't move away from me, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, he says, if a person comes lidroish loy, then Hashem says, na'ane lobi, I'm going to answer that person. And how is it going to look? Nasati ponai ba'ishahu, I'm going to place my face against such a person and destroy them, and you will know I'm Hashem. And then finally, Yechezkel turns outwards one further time, and he says, you should know, va'anavi ki yifuta v'diber davar, a navi who is seduced and speaks things, Ani Hashem Pitisi, I am Hashem who, so to speak, seduces him. I've forced his hand over him, and I will destroy him, because I will seek out the problems that he created. That's what it says, the section of the Perek says, and this closes with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Very enigmatic, very hard to understand. All the Mephoreshim deal with this in different ways. It's very hard to put together exactly what's happening. Here are some iterations of what seems to be happening. It seems clear that these elders are coming to Yechezkel with a agenda. There seems to be something wrong with the way they are approaching Yechezkel, and Hashem is letting Yechezkel know that. Then Hashem is also letting Yechezkel into his inner workings as to how he should deal, how the Ribono Shel Olam should deal with these people. So it is interesting that clearly the way they're presenting themselves is different to what they're believing inside. And one of the hints we see that about this in the Psukim themselves is that if you actually look at the very first word of this parak, it's Vayavo Eli Anashim. And he came, these men. The verb is in the singular form, Vayavo, and the subject of the sentence is plural, which indicates that there's a singularity about their approach, which what the Mepharshim take to mean is that although they look like they're coming together, they really each have their own separate ideas, and that's often what happens when it comes to dissidents, when it comes to people who are rebelling against a certain status quo. There are lots of people who have different belief systems, no unified belief system, but they're all taking advantage of an opportunity, and this seems to be what's going on. So what is really going on? So just three possibilities as to what could possibly be happening over here. The first is the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Lamates Amabeis to Daf Memor Aleph tells us that there is this unique halacha, and that is usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold our thoughts against us when it comes to if we plan to do something but we didn't do it, except for in the area and the arena of Avodah Zarah. That in that Gemara, the Gemara says that Hashem is metzaref, Hashem joins a machshava ra'a to a ma'aseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though people, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, if a person is thinking the thoughts of serving something which is false, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that as enough. And that's what Hashem is pointing out in this section, is that if you're thinking thoughts of paganism, of false beliefs, I'm going to count them, says Hashem, and I'm going to remove you, I'm going to snuff you out for those thoughts, even though they may not have actually been an action. That's level number one. The Malbim says that what's happening over here is these are actually rabble rousers. These are people who are going to be coming, and the reason they're coming to Yecheskel is that they're pretending they're looking for advice, but really they want to misuse his words, misinterpret his words, to actually create a different following in the people away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yecheskel that Hashem is debating whether or not he should engage them or not, and that's why Yecheskel, after being addressed about how to deal with these particular individuals, turns outwards to the people to avoid them being influenced by these charlatans. Now, Barmanel adds one last and third level of depth, which we're going to focus on right now, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he seems to differentiate between, if you look through the Pesukim, the difference between Ledroish and La'anos, to seek out and to answer. So what it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, I'm not going to desist responding to them. I mean, I'm not going to tune them out and ignore them completely. I'm going to respond to them, but I'm not going to answer their tefillos because they're coming to pray. They really sincerely believe that with their mixed up and messed up ideas that they can pray to me. Well, I'm not going to give in to them on that. At the same time, I will respond to them. But understand, then he turns out to the people, that when I respond to them, I will only be to reveal their falsehood. And that's what seems to be going on over here. Towards the end of this section, as we saw, HaKadosh Baruch Hu claims that I seduced, so to speak, these false prophets. What does that mean, he seduced the prophets? So Abinel says it's actually to be read bitmiah, which means in wonder, which means it goes like this. Did I force these people to say all this nonsense? Meaning, why are you saying you should follow these people? It's all nonsense. None of this was actually explained to was what I intended whatsoever. That's the way that he looks at it. Going into the next section, just to really move towards the end of the parak, the last section of this parak runs from Yud Beis all the way to the very end, and it seems to be on a different topic. He now talks about people who escape. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the claim, Ben Adam, Eretz ki secheta li lemal mal bonatisi yodi alea v'shavarti la me'atei lechem. The land which will send to me, I will reach out my hand to it and destroy, break the staff of bread. But there is going to be three people in it who are going to escape, and they are Noach, Daniel, and Eov. Interesting group of people. They are going to save themselves. They're not going to save their daughters and their sons. They're not going to save the people around them, but they themselves will escape. That's how he says it. And then the closing part of this parak, the last few psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about how there's going to be Arba'as Shvotai Haro'im. There's these four bad messengers of justice. They are Cherev Ra'av Chaya Ra'av Adever. There's sword, famine, wild animals, and Dever, which is pestilence. I'm going to send against Yerushalayim, but I'm going to take out of Yerushalayim refugees who are going to bring out their sons and their daughters, and that's going to be a nechama v'nichamu eschem kisiru es darkom ve'es alo aleihem. You're going to see their ways and what you escaped from. So this seems to be the section. It seems to be that the general topic of this section is who escapes, who's allowed to escape. So just to understand this in greater context, it really will help focusing on these three individuals. Why are these three individuals singled out? Why is it Noach, Daniel, and Eov? So, interesting enough, the Malbim points out that these are three people who lived in a terrible generation where everything was falling apart among them, and they themselves survived. So Noach lived in the generation of the Mabul, of the flood. Daniel lives in the generation of the destruction. And Eov lived in a personal, call it a microcosm of destruction, where all his family and assets were destroyed. The Radak adds a little bit more of a wrinkle into this, and he says that they all three saw something which was in a state of perfection, witnessed its destruction, and also saw the rebuilding of that same place. So Eov saw his family in perfection, them all being taken away and destroyed, and his family rebuilt, and his health rebuilt. Same thing with Noach, the world being destroyed, and the perfect world, the world being destroyed and being rebuilt, and Daniel seeing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and seeing the rebuilding of the next Beis HaMikdash. So that's what seems to be happening over here. The Radak takes it one step further, and that is that all three of these people were individuals who were tzaddikim and had the schus of meriting being saved in their generations, but they also were not able to change the destiny of others around them. So as famously, we always know that Noach is sometimes looked at in an ambivalent sense where he didn't save those around him. So the same thing with Daniel, was not able to save other people around him, and neither was Eov able to save his family necessarily. It was only for themselves. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is Al Pi Din, whether it means to say that the people of this generation don't have the spiritual capacity to be able to do that, or whether they don't care necessarily to do that. But the point is that nobody over here really warrants to be able to save others if they are even tzaddikim worthy of being saved. If that's true, then when we look at the last three psukim of this perek, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making an exception. He's saying, I'm going to create a nechama, and I'm going to allow survivors to leave the city of Yerushalayim. How is that so? So what the Malbim says, and very, very powerfully, is the Malbim points out that that is why it is that there was a Galus Yechonia. That's why there was an original Galus from Yerushalayim, which Yechezkel was part of, which this first stage of exile to Bavel was. Because ultimately, they would be the seed which would grow and rebuild Klal Yisrael, because they were allowed out. Because the destruction which is coming is not going to allow anybody out, except perhaps for very, very distinct individuals themselves, but nobody else around them. This gives us a little bit of a nechama, because these people, as we've seen, the people in Babylon at this point in time have thought that they're rejected. The people of Yerushalayim says, the only reason you went to Godless is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously rejected you. And Hashem is saying, couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, the reason why they might have been saved is because this is the seed of redemption. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.